Hey, everybody. It's Gabby, Communications Director with the Montana Democratic Party and co-host of our newest podcast. Join us weekly as we unpack and demystify the chaos and the excitement that is the Montana legislative session. In this podcast, we'll spotlight important bills, interview lawmakers and stakeholders, and give you all the top lines you need to know and understand news out of Helena. Thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy the show. Hi, everybody. My name is Gabby Crevett. I'm the Communications Director with the Montana Democratic Party. Welcome to the Blue Bench podcast. Today, I have host Shannon O'Brien with us. Shannon is a former lawmaker, a former candidate for statewide office, and of course, a former teacher. Thanks for being here, Shannon.
Hey, Gabby. It's great to be here.
Well, great. We have a lot cooking today. The legislative session is in full swing, and I'm ready to dive in if you're ready to dive in.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So we know the Montana House and Senate Dems met on Monday to discuss their priorities. What are some of those priorities you heard from lawmakers? And what are some of the priorities that maybe we didn't necessarily hear out loud?
Yeah, that's a great question. So both the Senate and the House Democrats meet right after Election Day. And the first thing they do is vote on leadership. But they also kind of take an approach of what are the problems that Montanans are facing and what are the solutions that Montanans are facing. And then they put together a platform. And what was made very clear in that press conference on Monday morning was they laid out the platform and the priorities. And you will still see bills introduced that follow those things. And I heard freedom, I heard fairness, and I heard affordability. And I heard those terms over and over again, which are a telltale sign of what the priorities will be. I know that fair taxes are always an issue, and property taxes are something that people knocking doors throughout their campaigns heard over and over again. We've seen it in the news. The legislature, I served last session. I was the vice chair of Senate Tax, and there was, quite frankly, no interest in solving. We knew that the property tax issue would be a huge problem for Montanans, and there was no interest in solving that problem. But hopefully we'll be able to do something about that. So property taxes, affordable housing is huge for Montanans all over the state. We need to keep our Montanans here. Some of them are leaving the state because they can't afford to live. And then strong schools are also something we heard about. Democrats are strong supporters of public schools and public school teachers, paying them an adequate salary so that they can live in Montana and they can do the work supporting the students, because that's where it all meets. And then healthcare is something we're going to see lots and lots of, many different realms. Medicaid, Montana Medicaid program will be a big one, as well as privacy.
Yeah. Yeah. I know when I was knocking doors last election cycle, the things I heard the most at the doors was property taxes, and property taxes. I don't think I went a door without hearing someone bring up property taxes. So that's not surprising. That is one of the main priorities from House and Senate Dems, just tackling that issue.
Yeah, we're going to hear a lot about that, and which we should, from both Republicans and Democrats. There were two other issues that I'm hearing more and more about. I know that the American Indian Caucus is really strong this year as far as numbers go, but they're also having weekly meetings and inviting the public, inviting all legislators to those meetings. They're very organized, and I think that we'll see some good bills supporting Indian Country. So keep an eye out there. And then, you know, I think it's really important for Democrats that we find ways to learn about rural Montana, certainly supporting farmers and ranchers, but we also It's easy to forget. I'll just be brutally honest. It's easy to forget when you're in the legislative session. I think lots of legislators simply forget rural Montana and some of the issues that are there. So I think that that's something that we'll see many legislators grappling with.
So moving on to my next question, are there any specific bills you'll be looking out for coming from House and Senate Democrats?
Yeah, obviously. So I was on Senate tax, Senate education, and Senate agriculture. So those are areas that I'm keenly interested in and a little more versed in. We've already seen Representative Jonathan Carlin and Representative Mark Thain have dropped a bill. So some of their interests are homestead, a homestead tax. So it's a different classification or a different tax rate for the home that you live in, as opposed to people who have a second or third or fourth home. And so it's either be a different rate or there'd be a limit to the value, the taxable value. And we can wonk out on tax policy. It gets very complex, very fast. But there have been kind of different approaches of ways to do that. There's also a simple tax credit that people get if they are within a certain income, or there's an elderly tax credit for people who live in their own homes and who own homes. But we also are looking out for bills. Democrats are going to be introducing bills for renters, because if property tax goes up for the landlord, they're more often than not going to have that effect. They're going to increase rent. So we need to find different ways to look at that kind of housing affordability in the bigger picture. So it'll be creative for certain. There is very deep interest on the Republican side to again decrease income tax, which is, you know, a great benefit for the people who make $1 million a year or $500,000 a year. For people who make $70,000 a year, they get a basically $70 cash in their pocket. Whereas if you're making $500,000 a year, the tax break that everybody got was a $5,000 cash in your pocket. And, you know, that's not fair taxes in my mind.
Well, let me ask you this, Shannon. I know there are a handful of states with this on the docket, but Montana's Medicaid expansion program will sunset this year unless lawmakers take some action on it. Is that something you'll be watching closely as well?
Yeah, that's a huge issue for tens of thousands of Montanans that will not be eligible for health care. And so that's something that lots of legislators throughout the interim, lots of work gets done throughout the interim over the course of the last year and a half or more to come up with something. So we'll be looking at that for sure.
So moving on, Democrats picked up 12 seats between the House and the Senate last election cycle. What does that mean for Democrats in the legislature this year?
Well, I think first I'm going to say that that was a major victory. And that's a major victory for Democrats across the state. And I think there are so many people who don't realize that that actually happened, that they only saw the statewide offices go Republican, and they didn't realize 12 seats in the legislature is a significant number when you're looking at that. Now, there are a large number of moderate Republicans in the legislature who, depending on the bill, depending on the issue, will vote their conscience and not specifically with their party. And with that, we have an enormous amount of power. I will then say that one of the really exciting things that happened this week, first day of the legislative session, was we witnessed that in action in the Senate. The very first action that's taken in the Senate is to vote on the rules of the Senate, and then the joint rules between the House and the Senate. So the president of the Senate decided to add a new committee to the list of committees. So you have tax, you have budget and finance, you have all of the agriculture, all of the traditional committees. And then the president decided to add this new committee on executive bills. And it was very unclear what the purpose of that was. Maybe some people theorized that it was a way for the Senate, the legislative branch, to flex their muscles and to show some power over the governor, that those bills would have to go through one more step in order to get passed. One thing it did do is it would take legislators away from their committees that they were, I would call them maybe experts on or familiar with, and into this other new committee. And Democrats were able to wrangle enough Republican votes. 9 Republicans voted against. They voted for an amendment to eliminate that committee from the rules. And that was a shock to the Republican majority. And they're still trying to figure out what to do. Many of the committees did not meet this week in the Senate because they didn't know what the makeup of the committees was going to be. And the committees were scrambling. And it was an interesting, shocking, if you're a wonk, turn. It was an interesting turn of events.
So there were a couple bills that got our attention this week, one bill being House Bill 39. Can you tell us a little bit about that bill?
Why don't you tell me the title of the bill, or do you have the topic of the bill? I can't keep track of every bill and every bill number.
Totally understandable. I get it. So House Bill 39 says to repeal law disallowing parties from contributing to judicial candidates.
Oh, right. Yeah, this is really an important bill. As our Constitution is established, both state and federal, but now we're talking about state, is that we keep politics out of the judiciary. It is a nonpartisan place. And this bill is suggesting that we can have Democrat candidates and Republican candidates running for Supreme Court, for example. I don't want that. I don't think Montanans want that. So this is a really important bill to vote no on to keep politics out of the courts.
It's interesting to me this, you know, and I can't be putting words necessarily in their mouth, but there were, what, 27 bills that came out of a judicial reform committee, you know, 27 bills about politicizing the courts. I don't know about you, but when I was knocking doors, I heard about property taxes and affordable housing. I didn't hear from people, you know, we should really be politicizing the courts. That's something I've thought deeply about. Like, why aren't they partisan positions? That just seems like a very strange use of energy from our friends across the aisle.
There has been much frustration by the Republican, my Republican colleagues, that they pass bills that are unconstitutional, and they know they're unconstitutional. And we plan ahead and fund, we, meaning the Republicans, plan ahead and fund court cases, attorney fees, to fight these unconstitutional laws that are going to be voted down. So there's a history of legislation that a certain lawmaker wants passed, but doesn't understand that it's unconstitutional. So then they get frustrated because it immediately goes to court because it's unconstitutional, and that law dies that they thought made so much sense, even though it's unconstitutional. So that's the history behind that. And there's frustration that there's what they call a liberal court. And it's not a liberal court, it's a constitutional court.
Right. And from my understanding, to add insult to injury, those attorney fees are paid by us, the taxpayers. So all frivolous lawsuits are paid for by us.
Yeah, we voted hundreds of thousands of dollars, actually over $1 million. We had to approve as legislators of your taxpayer dollars to pay for the court fees and the attorney fees for these actions, for these court cases. And wholly irresponsible, if you ask me.
Okay, Shannon. So then we have House Joint Resolution? Is that what they're called?
That's right.
Okay, House Joint Resolution 1, which is a resolution urging Congress to fully fund law enforcement in Indian Country. Thoughts on that bill?
Yeah, so first of all, little social studies lesson. A joint resolution, if it's a House joint resolution, it means it started in the House, but it's a resolution both House and Senate are going to approve. And if it's a resolution, it doesn't become a law. It doesn't go to the governor's office for a sign to be signed or vetoed. It's just a resolution. So this one is a resolution that basically sends if it's passed, the legislature, signed by the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate, will send a letter to Congress saying, please appropriately fund and support law enforcement for our tribal governments and on the reservations. So that has been, and another shout out to the American Indian Caucus, who's doing really great work. I think the best thing that we can do as non-natives is listen to our friends and colleagues who were first here, and this is a priority for them. It will help improve the serious problem of missing, murdered Indigenous women, and other issues that are faced on the reservations throughout Montana. So this is a please vote to send a letter to Congress to appropriately fund it.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us for the very first episode of the Montana Democratic Party's Blue Bench podcast. Be sure to follow us on social media. We're Montana Dems on X, Instagram, and Facebook. Shannon, do you have any socials to plug?
Sure. I'm on Substack now. I'm actually Shannon Louise O'Brien, and Montanans for Shannon on Instagram and Facebook.
All right. Thanks again for listening, guys. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, all.